Good morning. Hope you are doing well today. If I've not had the pleasure of meeting you, my name is Pastor Nathan. I am one of the pastors here at Cornerstone Church, and we are thankful to have you here today. We are going to start a new series today called Overcoming Anxiety. And this is just where God was leading me after we just finished a two-part series that we did. Anxiety is something that, as I said in the prayer, that I think everybody deals with to some degree or another. We all have it. In fact, I think it's even more prevalent today coming out of the pandemic, or we're really still in it to some degree. With the pandemic and with everything going on, I think everybody's anxiety levels have been elevated a little bit. I know mine personally has. As I want to talk about anxiety during this series, and today we're going to really go through some basics of anxiety, what it is. We're going to look at it from almost a psychological, scientific standpoint, but of course we're going to look at it from a spiritual standpoint, because any problem we face is also a spiritual problem. And so we have to look at it through the lens of Scripture, and one of the things that we are blessed with is all throughout Scripture, there are real people who struggled with real anxiety, just like me and you. So let's first start by defining anxiety. Anxiety is this: it's an emotion characterized by feelings of tension, worried thoughts, and physical changes like increased blood pressure. It's an emotion that you can often feel through tension, and then of course it affects your thoughts. You begin to worry about things, and all of that creates physical changes in your body, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Anxiety is actually your body's natural response to stress. And it's actually a good response. Since the earliest days of humanity, the approach of predators or incoming danger would set off alarms in our body and would encourage us to take some type of action in response to the threat heading towards us. Whatever the threat was would cause a rush of adrenaline, which is a hormone and a chemical messenger in the brain, which in turn triggers these anxious reactions in a process called the fight or flight or freeze, that's one they've added on now, response. This prepares humans to physically confront or flee any potential threats to their safety. When we talk about anxiety becoming a problem, anxiety becomes a problem when it becomes sustained. When you're anxious, but there is no threat. When you are worried, but there's nothing to be worried about necessarily. When we get stuck in this state, you're constantly releasing that adrenaline, and that is going to lead into some other physical problems in your body. Your body's going to get tired, you're going to have a hard time operating like you normally would. And eventually that could lead into anxiety disorders. The stats surrounding anxiety is shocking. We know that anxiety, in a 2020 survey, almost 50% of Americans reported experiencing anxiety regularly. An estimated 31% of all adults will experience an anxiety disorder at some point in their life, so 1 in 3. It is estimated that 264 million adults around the globe have anxiety. And here in the United States, anxiety is the most common mental disorder, affecting 40 million adults. Anxiety is a huge problem in our world today. So what I want to do during this series is talk about how to deal with that anxiety so that it does not have long-term effects on our life. And I'm speaking to you from someone that struggles with anxiety. You will hear a little bit about my struggle with anxiety over every week during this series, and you'll hear a little bit at the end of the message today. I have always struggled with anxiety, and it has gotten worse in recent years. It is in my life, and I would venture to say it's probably in yours. And so what my goal is during this series, we're going to talk about three ways to overcome anxiety. And these teachings are going to build on one another each week, so I hope you'll come back next week as we build on the teaching this week. We're going to be looking at an episode out of Elijah's life, the prophet Elijah, not my son Elijah, who is already yelling at me. We're going to look at an episode out of Elijah's life when he was anxious and depressed. For those of you that have been in our church very long, you know this is one of my favorite stories. In fact, this story plays a key role in why we named our son Elijah. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, had just had a match against these false prophets who promoted worship of a false god named Baal. Elijah, he ended up winning that match, and he ended up having all the prophets of Baal killed. 450 prophets were killed. Now that made the king's wife mad. Her name is Jezebel, because those were her people. And now she lost power and influence because her people have been killed. And so she, here in 1 Kings 19, begins to threaten Elijah. Said in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, Ahab told Jezebel, so this is King Ahab, told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." She threatened to kill him. And so Elijah's response is how any of our response would be. He was afraid, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. He said, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Elijah has received this threat, and it has caused him basically to isolate himself away from his servant. He goes and he finds himself under a bush. He sat down under it, and he prayed that he may die. You have to be under a lot of stress, and you have to be feeling very anxious to get to that point of hoping that you would die. I want to talk to you about how anxiety works, and here's a nice little chart that I want to put up here for you to see. There's often a trigger that triggers the anxiety to begin this process. So this is a cycle, this is a process. An example is let's say there's an upcoming trip that you've been invited to go on. So that would be your trigger. The negative belief would then, you would ask yourself, "Hey, I don't want to go on this trip because what if we break down on the trip? We're so far away from everybody. What if we crash? Who's going to be there to help us?" And those two examples are from my own life. What if we get lost? What if I lose my wallet? That trigger creates this negative belief, which then creates an emotional or physical response within your body. So here's some of those responses. See if you can check off any of these in your life. I can check off almost every single one of them. Uncontrollable thoughts and worry. Poor concentration. Nervousness. Muscle tension. Sleep problems. Increased or decreased appetite. Changes in breathing. Increased heart rate. Clammy hands or feet. Excessive sweating. Upset stomach. And feelings of impending doom. Many of us experience that on a regular basis. It may just be anxiety causing that. And so once you start to feel that emotional and physical response, you change your behavior because of the anxiety that you are feeling. So if we continue with the trip example, you've been invited to go on a trip. You begin to worry about things. You begin to get scared, and your body begins to respond physically. And so then you postpone the trip, or you say you cannot go. Let's look at this in Elijah's life. The trigger for Elijah was that Jezebel threatened to kill him. That would be a trigger for any of us, I do believe. But this negative belief or negative thought, which is so interesting, because he just had a showdown with 450 prophets of Baal, and he killed all of them. He won the battle, had them all killed. Now, the negative belief is that this one queen is going to take his life. His negative belief is that his time has come to an end, and I would venture to say that he even thinks to some degree that God has abandoned him. And so what were we told? Elijah was afraid. And he ran for his life. There's the emotional and physical response. He was afraid and he ran. And now the behavior response is that he's giving up. He just wants to die. We're going to come back to this cycle multiple times during this series. I hope that you'll be able to recognize this in your life. What are your triggers? What negative beliefs do they start in your mind? What's your emotional and physical response? And how does your behavior change because of your anxiety? Here's a truth, though, that we see in Elijah's life and in our life. Anxiety can hold you back from living the abundant life God has for you. All of a sudden, this man of God, Elijah, who has done God's work, is now crippled with anxiety. It is preventing him from living the life that God has called him to live as a prophet, standing against the false prophets of Baal, against this false religion, and against these evil leaders. He is now running in fear. The anxiety is holding him back from living the life that God has called him to live. And I got a feeling that many of us can say the same thing in our life. Anxiety can prevent us from doing God's work in this world. And anxiety most certainly can prevent us from living an abundant life because of the crippling nature of it. During each week during the series, we're going to talk about where anxiety often comes from. And right now, we're going to talk about how anxiety is often rooted in the future. We're worried or anxious about what is going to happen down the road that we can't see. Next week, we'll talk about the past, and then last week, we'll talk about the present. My belief about anxiety about the future is this. Anxiety about the future is rooted in fear and is designed to make you forsake God's path for your life. Anxiety about the future is rooted in this fear of the unknown. We don't know exactly what is going to happen in the future. So we fear something's going to go wrong. We fear that something's going to happen to you or happen to your loved ones. You fear what you can't see. And what can happen is that fear makes you forsake God's path for your life. Because often God's path requires us to trust Him, even when we can't see the next step. Often God's path for us requires us to trust Him, even though we can't see what's ahead. But because of the anxiety, because of the trigger, the response, and so on and so forth, that anxiety, the behavior response that often happens is that you want to play it safe. I think that goal to play it safe is us trying to stay in control as much as possible of our life. And what can happen is that when we try to stay in control of our life, we forsake God's path for our life. Because see, what happens when you come to faith in Jesus, you give your life over to God, but when you forsake God's path for your life, guess what you're doing? You're taking your life right back and you're saying, I'm in control of it. And why are you doing that? Because of anxiety about the future that is rooted in fear. It is my belief that so many Christians have forsaken God's path for their life because of the fear they have about what the future can hold. And this is exactly the enemy's goal. The enemy's goal is that anxiety will cause us to give up on following God. that anxiety will get us off of our God-given path, because then we do the least damage to the enemy as possible. For Elijah, in the story we're looking at today, he is off that path. And I can about guarantee the enemy is celebrating. He was this powerful man of God that was doing God's work, forsaking his God-given path because of the fear that he's feeling about the future. I got a feeling there's some people in this room who may be off of their God-given path because of the anxiety they're feeling in the present. For most of us, we've gotten off that path in the past at times. I can make that point because I've experienced that point for myself. You probably have as well. The enemy wants you off of God's path. It's up to us, and I think it's my job here today is to make sure, as much as I'm in, as much power as I have, which is none, but to encourage you to stay on God's path. Here's what I love about God's response to us when we get off the path. He chases after us. His goodness is always running after us. That's exactly what happens here in 1 Kings 19:5-9. Elijah, he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. And all at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and then he lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and he ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There, he went into a cave and he spent the night. I love that God doesn't give up on us even when we give up on ourselves. He had given up on living. He just wanted to die. And what does God do? God sends an angel. The angel of the Lord came to him, told him to get up and eat. Keep going. Don't quit. That's God's message for you today, too. God will often send us messages and signs to keep going. And if you are here today and you are anxious, consider this message your sign. Keep going. But to receive the signs that God puts in front of us, we have to make sure that we don't give up on God. And so here is the first tip I have to overcoming anxiety. To fight anxiety about the future, you must have faith. You must have faith. Let's talk about what faith is. Hebrews 11:1, scripture, best definition we have for faith. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That plays a key role when we're talking about the future, because we need to have confidence and assurance that God is going to be with us no matter what lies ahead. That God is going to get us through, that God is going to work in us, that God's going to work through us, and that God's going to keep us on that path if we keep the faith. Later on in Hebrews, just a few verses later, the author of Hebrews says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." So faith is a starting point for us in our relationship with God, but it's also a great starting point for us to overcome the anxiety we're facing in our life. For Elijah, he has to have the faith that God is not done with him yet. In fact, I think Elijah still had some faith left, because if he didn't have no faith, he would have laid right there under that bush. He would have laid right there and slept. He would not have went to the mountain of God as God had told him to. Now, I want to clarify something. I think often we make faith and fear opposites, and while they are to some degree, when you have faith, that does not necessarily mean you won't have any fear at all. Because we're human beings. we are always going to have some level of fear in our life. What faith means, though, is that you don't let the fear set the direction of your life. Faith in God does. I am guilty of shaming myself because I am still feeling some levels of fear when I'm up here preaching about faith. But then I realize that that's just part of the human condition. One day, we will have no fear. One day, all we will be filled with is faith, because we will be with God for eternity. But while we're continuing here on this earth, we're going to have some level of fear. And I about guarantee you, at this point, Elijah is still scared and anxious. But he's just not letting that fear and anxiety to drive his life. Instead, his faith is kicking in. That's what's keeping him going, and that's what will keep us going too. But we have to let faith take the lead in our life. And if we do that, if you let faith take the lead, you won't falter. You will stay on the path that God has for you. You will stay on that path even when the enemy is all around. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for you know God is with you. What does our faith tell us to do? So when I say faith, I mean, yeah, you should have faith that everything's going to be okay, but you also have to live out your faith. It's one thing to say you have faith. It's one thing to believe, but you have to actually live it out. So our faith, we have to do some things that our faith tells us to do, and the first thing our faith tells us to do is our faith tells us to go to God. When you are feeling anxious, when you are feeling down, go to God. That's exactly what happens here in 1 Kings 19, 9 through 13. Let's read. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites, they've rejected your covenant, they've torn down your altars, they put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left." That's a lie. He's not the only one left, but the devil, that shows how much the devil is making him believe lies right now. And he says, "Now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Don't we often wish that God would show up in mighty and powerful ways like that to shake the very foundations of our life, of whatever is causing us to be anxious, that God would take that out? That's how we often want Him to show up, and that's often how we expect Him to show up, but this is often how God chooses to show up. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and he stood at the mountain of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Why does God whisper? God could have chosen to show up in all these big ways, but God chooses to whisper to Elijah. God whispers because He's close. For those of you that have been in a dark season where anxiety is crippling you, you know the comfort that is felt in that whisper. When He says, "What are you doing here, Nathan?" But the fact He's talking to you is assurance that you're not alone, no matter what the devil has made you believe. Elijah, he's having a meeting with God. And aren't you thankful that we can have a meeting with God whenever and wherever because of the sacrifice Jesus made? Matthew 6:31, Jesus is addressing anxiety and worry, and he says this: "Don't worry," saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus said, focus on living out your faith. God already knows every single thing you need, and if you focus on living out your faith, God is going to take care of you. Why? Because he loves you. Because you're his children. If you have children, and your children are in need of something, you're going to do everything in your power to take care of them. And we're not perfect. We're not perfect parents, but God is. So you better believe God's got you. Here in 1 Peter, Peter tells us to humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That word cast means literally to throw it on God. Put it on God. Give your anxiety, give your worries, give whatever you're dealing with, give it over to God. But we got to go back to verse 6 because the first step to that is humbling yourself under God's mighty hand. Goes back to the image we had earlier where we give our life to Jesus when we come to faith in him, but then we anxiety and fear and whatever else begins to take over our life, we take our life right back. That's not humble. That's not being humble. That's not humility. We've got to humble ourselves. We got to surrender ourselves under God's mighty hand, which means you give yourself to him and you trust him. And if you do that, he will lift you up in due time, and you need to cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. There's a song that I listened to a few years ago that said, God's not worried, so why do we worry? God's not worried, so why do I worry? I ask myself that a lot. In Philippians 4:6, Paul says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Paul knew exactly what it was like to be anxious. He was always under threat of being killed, of being beaten, of being arrested, being thrown in jail. And he says, hey, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, no matter what you're going through, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He's saying, talk to God about it. Go to God about it. Pray about it. And let God talk to you. And you'll find out he shows up in that gentle whisper. So my encouragement for you today is to go to God. Your faith tells you to go to God. Whatever you're anxious about, go to God. Do whatever brings you closer to him. Amen. The second thing our faith tells us to do is our faith tells us to talk to other Christians. To talk to other believers. That's exactly the remedy that God provides Elijah here in this passage in 1 Kings 19. The Lord told Elijah, go back the way you came, go to the desert of Damascus, and when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram, also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. And I've also reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. God's making sure Elijah knows, hey, you are not alone. Go and talk to these people. Go anoint Hazael. Go anoint Jehu and go anoint Elisha. You have others that are in this fight with you. And I'm sorry the devil made you believe you were all alone, but you have 7,000 others in Israel. who are with you in this battle. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the author of Hebrews tells us, don't neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Church, we got people in this room that care about you. We got people in this room that are willing to talk with you. And the author of Hebrews tells us, encourage one another. You're going to hear a verse here in a little bit. Actually, it's right here. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. You got people in this room that will give you an encouraging word. Anxiety might be weighing you down today, but a kind word will cheer you up. I have received some kind words this week. I had my own little bout with anxiety this week. I'll probably share a little bit about it next week because it goes better with next week's sermon. But Tanya had messaged me this week at just the right time. Heidi had messaged me at just the right time, encouraging things that I needed to hear. That anxiety was weighing me down, but the kind word cheered me up. So I want to encourage you, give kind words. But we also need to be willing to receive kind words. Seek people out who will give us kind words. And finally, the verse that I really want to point out is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Paul commands the church to carry each other's burdens, and this will fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? We talked about it a few weeks ago. The law of Christ is the law of love. So if you want to live out what God has called you to do, He says, carry each other's burdens. Take care of one another in the church. That anxiety is going to weigh you down. So go and carry your brothers and sisters' burdens. But here's where the church has gotten off over the years. How can we carry each other's burdens when we don't even know what our brothers and sisters are going through? There are some churches you'll walk into, you cannot share a thing about your life that is negative because they will shame you. They will gossip about you. They will talk about you. And so what that creates is a culture in the church where nothing is shared. No burdens are presented. Because we got to put forth that front face that everything's good. And we know everything's not good. We need to be willing to share with one another about what's going on in our life, what burdens we are carrying. So when you're anxious, tell other people what you're feeling. Talk about why you're feeling it. Talk about what's bothering you. Be transparent. That's why I encourage everybody to get in one of our small groups. Celebrate Recovery is also great for that transparency to take place, for you to be transparent in a group that's not going to judge you, a group that's not going to gossip about you, a group where you can be open about your struggles, where they can help you carry those burdens. My encouragement to you to go at this point is this. Find some fighting friends. Not people who fight you. Find some people that will fight the anxiety off with you. Find some people that will get down in the ditch with you and will pull you out of the ditch. Find some people that will help you carry your burdens. People you trust. People that will actually give you good feedback, not bad feedback. People that will actually keep you on God's path rather than lead you off God's path. If you have friends like that, be sure to thank them for being that for you. And while you might not have that in your life, here's what I can encourage you to do is be that for other people. Be that encouraging voice. Be that one that gives the kind word to the people when they need it. And finally, my last point for you today is this, is that our faith tells us to go to God, to go to other Christians, but it also tells us to persevere. Next time we see Elijah here in 1 Kings, he is back doing God's work. He's not letting the devil and his lies cause him to stop following God. Instead, what he is doing is he is persevering. He is enduring in the face of many trials. Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the faith chapter, the hall of faith, whatever you want to call it. But in Hebrews chapter 12, the author of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything, all that anxiety, all the burdens, everything that is weighing you down. Let's throw that off. Throw it on God. We already talked about casting it on God. But also the command is for Christians to help you carry those burdens. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance. Here's what the battle with anxiety comes down to. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. Run with perseverance. The race marked out for us. Not your own race. Don't take control of your life and go off this direction. Run the race that is marked out for us and fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you not grow weary and lose heart. You know our Savior faced things a whole lot worse than we faced. Yet he did not lose heart. He kept his focus. And if you fix your eyes on Jesus, as the author of Hebrews tells us, you will realize that he is always there with you in the middle of that anxiety cycle. He is always there with you in the middle of every dark season. Run with perseverance. Fix your eyes on him. Consider him so you don't grow weary. Keep the faith. You only lose your battle if you allow it to stop you from following God. Exactly, Siri. You know you're preaching good when Siri's agreeing with you. We need to keep the faith. We need to go to God. Talk to other Christians. Persevere. Overcome anxiety with God's help. Anxiety is, I would say, my number one struggle in life. And I opened it up to people this past week, and they said that they really never knew I really struggle with anxiety. But I have struggled with anxiety to the point of having to seek medical help out for my anxiety. I have gotten stuck in what I would call the fight, flight, or freeze mode. Adrenaline constantly pumping through my body, not sleeping good, having anxious dreams. I was not good at all, really. And I still battle it to this day. But I can tell you that if you follow these things I talked about today, you can overcome it. The very fact that I am standing up here preaching to you today means that I have overcome it. Does it mean I still don't feel it? No, I absolutely feel it. I had a major battle with it this past week, which was no coincidence because I was preaching on it this week. I still battle it, and I especially battle it when it comes to preaching, speaking in front of a crowd, pastoring the church. Everything that God has called me to do is where I feel anxiety about. I remember the first time I preached, I remember the leap of faith that required. I couldn't see what lied ahead. I was always pretty smart in school. I was always pretty successful. I got a promotion at my job at Food Line. I'd make straight A's or B's at school. And I remember taking this step with pastoring thinking, if there was one area where I could fail, is this. It's preaching. Because I hated public speaking. My stomach would get in knots if the teacher had me share anything in front of the class, in front of 20 people. And so I remember it was at Next, which was basically Cornerstone before Cornerstone became Cornerstone. I remember going up there thinking, this is my leap of faith. I can't see what lies ahead. I could come up here and I could totally bomb this. But I didn't let it stop me. Because I knew what God had called me to do. And he had called me to preach. That is the path that God has put before me. And so I did exactly what I told you today. I went to God, I talked to other people, and I just persevered. I just kept going. And I still struggle with it. It's still there. But if you keep going, I can promise you, God will get you through it. And so my question for you today is this: what are you anxious about? And the way I'm going to have you apply it, I've been debating this all week, but here's where God's led me. You have note cards either in front of you in the pocket or underneath your chair, depending on where you're sitting. What I want to encourage you to do this week is fill out this note card. You can do the front page only, but as I was talking to someone, they said I might need multiple note cards. I want you to fill out this note card with whatever is causing you to be anxious this week. Whatever you're worried about, whatever you're dealing with, this throughout the week, write it down. And doing that, recognizing this is something you're worried about, you can even look through the process. What is triggering this? What's my feelings? What's my emotions? What's my response? And what behavior am I doing off of this? But just write down what you're anxious about. And I want you to bring this note card back next week, and we're going to put something else on the other side next week. And then the third week, we're going to do something with that note card. So you got to keep bringing it back. Don't lose it. Put it in your Bible, David. I know you're forgetful, so don't lose it. Don't lose it. Bring it back every week. We're going to build, and I think you're going to see how you can fight off anxiety in your life through this series. But I thought this was a practical way of us applying today's message. So if you will, please bow your heads.